Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Good morning and welcome in to Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. Friday's here. The weekend looms. Hopefully you're ready for a couple of days that are either relaxing or entertaining or fun, or you got something on the docket you're looking forward to.
It'll be pretty chill, my friend. I got a show in Hagerstown tonight. Hagerstown, Maryland.
That's not a really far drive or
anything. That's a long way. One of those things that sounded awesome when I agreed to it, and here I am the day of going, Hagerstown. So,
what's in Hagerstown?
The Art Gastro Pub, apparently. That's where I'll be at 9 o'clock tonight. So if you're in the neighborhood, swing on by.
I'm sure a lot of our listeners will be in the neighborhood.
Yeah, I'm sure if you can hear this right now, you're definitely in Hagerstown. I don't know if the old 106.7 The Fan signal's penetrating that marketplace.
So is this some type of listener involved that got you in the mix here, or was this a random inquiry where they were just looking for comedians in the D.C. area?
I'm not sure. So the guy reached out to a dude named Ryan, said, hey, we've never met, but we'd love to have you come headline this show. And it's in Hagerstown, and it's on February 28th. That's today, right? And I was like, that sounds awesome. That's great. Absolutely. Let's book it. And now here we are the day of. I'm going, oh, my God, I got to drive to Hagerstown tonight.
What time does the car come to pick you up to take you to Hagerstown?
You make jokes, but I inquired about that. It would be prohibitive cost-wise. So I wouldn't make any money on the show if I did that.
No, but I mean, they're sending you a car, I'm sure.
I know.
To get you to the venue.
It'd be nice.
So when you say you inquired, like, who did you inquire with?
Well, I was like, how much would it cost to, just for fun, how much would it cost to get driven there? And it's more than what I'd be making.
But you
on the
asked
show.
The venue, or you asked, like, a company that drives people around?
I speculated, and I went to, like, Uber and Lyft and see if I could apply a coupon code and how much it would cost and take. Thinking about how much I should have charged for the show. I just agreed right away to do it, and I'm now, I don't want to say I'm regretting it, because I always, like, sandbag a little bit and end up having a lot of fun. But
I've been there, though. You're like, I shouldn't be doing this. You go, and you're glad on the way home that you did.
But right now, at 10:04, almost 10:05, there's a little regret. A little regret from saying yeah.
What time's the departure? What time does the plane leave?
It's about a 7:15 departure. 9 o'clock show.
I think you might need to give yourself a little more time than that.
I checked the old
traffic patterns.
Cutting
it a little tight there.
I'm headlining, so I can show up a little bit late. Big time. Right, Tommy?
Getting there at 8:50.
Catch you off the pass. Yeah. If I get there at 8:05,
you don't want to see your opening acts?
I'll see him.
I don't know that you will.
I'll see everybody.
Not if you're leaving at 7:15. You're not getting to Hagerstown in time to see the opener.
I'll be fine. Listen, if it's good enough.
Danny has made it, by the way.
Oh, I'm sure.
He's a headliner who is just showing up halfway through the show.
I'm sure. In Hagerstown. Let's settle down here. I'm not playing the Lincoln Theater, all right? What was I going to say? I had a point. Oh, yeah. If it's good enough for the Nats to call somebody up the same day, it's good enough for me, right? You know, it's like not that far.
The problem is it's not good enough for the Nats to call someone up the same day because they've never done that.
Well, I know. They don't play in the Hagerstown.
Because it's low-A baseball.
Yeah, I mean, you see what I'm saying? Like, they put guys accessible because they want to monitor them. It's fine.
That you're reaching on this analogy.
I'm reaching really hard.
You're trying your best, and God bless you.
The Hagerstown Suns.
It's just a good thing you have an electric car. Otherwise, you'd have to stop twice for gas on your way out.
I may have to get gas after this round trip.
You're going to have to change your many reads where you say that you've gotten gas 12 times since you bought your car.
I'm betting, and you used the shtick, but I bet you my Fusion will have to be filled up for the 13th time since I've had it in 3 years after this one. Hagerstown.
Good thing is, in Hagerstown, I think they charge 78 cents
That's
for
right.
gas
That's right.
per gallon.
They just got whoop, there it is on the radio.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man, enjoy that. That'll be a good show for you. I'm excited. Is there any possibility you could give someone your phone to record it and we could all listen to it together on Monday? Your big Hagerstown debut?
No.
Are you nervous?
No.
Not so much.
I'm not, but I'll do this one. I'm just going to do my job and come back home.
Well, any new material we're trying out tonight?
Actually, yeah. I do have a new joke that I'm very excited about.
What's it about? What's the material?
I mean, I can't go into it now.
You don't need to tell us the joke, but what is the base? What are we? What's the material?
The basis of this particular joke is I took a bite of. We have such limited time during commercial breaks. I took a bite of food that was way chewier than I thought it was, and I was still chewing when I went into the bathroom, and someone was doing terrible business in that bathroom. So now all of a sudden I'm still chewing while I have to do my business, and it's very unpleasant because I don't want to breathe in what they're doing, but I also can't really open my mouth because I don't want any of what they're doing to touch my food particles. I don't want their particles touching my particles, and hilarity ensues, I can say.
Hilarity ensues. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing if the people in Hagerstown put it over.
You'll get a full report, but I'll tell you what, I might lie about it because none of them can hear me right now, and none of them will confirm or deny what I say.
We're probably way bigger in Hagerstown than we even know.
I'm going to throw this out there. We're not big in Hagerstown.
You don't think?
There's no way.
It is one of those places that is not as far as you think it is. Like, it's far, but you drive for a little over an hour, next thing you know, you're in Hagerstown. Or in Danny's case, tonight, you drive for about an hour and 27 minutes, and you pull up right as the comedy show is starting.
See, I feel like that's what Leesburg is. I feel like that's what Ashburn is. What you're talking about is Hagerstown. That's different. That's just different.
Ashburn's about 35 minutes away without much traffic.
From where?
From the city, from wherever you're going to be.
I think Ashburn's like 35 minutes from Dulles. Like, Ashburn's not 35 minutes from D.C.
It's probably the same drive time, but with Hagerstown, you're just driving straight as opposed to taking a bunch of turns to avoid rivers and places where bridges can't be built.
You're also getting on ferries, lest we forget.
Nobody wants to do that.
You could be in Ashburn within 40 minutes of the city. I mean, I did it every day for 4 years. In Alexandria, where I live, I could get there in 34 minutes, depending on the time of day that I left. But Hagerstown, you just keep going. Like, you get to that point where you're now in the mountains, and you're like, D.C. feels like it's 10 states away.
Danny, why don't you go early, and then you could just do some outlet shopping while you wait for your...
Is there an outlet mall there?
That's oh, yeah.
Hagerstown?
It's the center of commerce in Hagerstown.
Now, are you taking the family Cracker with you to see the show?
Absolutely not.
Are the kids coming?
No.
You guys should do a hotel tonight in Hagerstown.
That's a good bit. The Clarksburg Premium Outlets up that road on 270. I pass by those going to my father-in-law's all the time. They're different than that? There's a Hagerstown outlet?
Well, yeah. Clarksburg is probably an hour closer than the Hagerstown outlet mall.
Hey, but, Danny, follow me for a second.
All right.
I think you guys pile into the SUV. You, Byron, Bill and company, and your wife comes too.
Sure.
And
you
guys go to a nice dinner in Hagerstown. You go to a nice steakhouse in Hagerstown. You
Longhorn. Eat there.
Maybe it's Texas Longhorn. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's something we haven't heard of. You eat at that lovely steakhouse. Let's say you do like a 7 o'clock dinner. They come to the show. Everybody watches. And then you go back to your hotel. And we'll do a 5-star night, like the Four Seasons in Hagerstown. Maybe Hagerstown has a...
They just opened an Applebee's.
A Continental.
You're saying I got to get up there at 7. What time do you want me to leave? You want me to leave right after the show?
I think at 7 o'clock? You leave here, you go home, you change, and you guys hit the road about 3 o'clock.
Yeah. That sounds like, with all due respect, the worst idea of all time. That's terrible.
I want you to have a romantic getaway with the wife. With the two kids in the little conjoining room where you open your door, then you open their door, and they're right there.
Nothing more romantic than having your kids with you.
Oh, but they're not in the same room.
Oh, so it'll be fine then.
Yeah, they're in the room next door.
Just being quiet.
Very quiet.
Keeping still, yeah.
They enjoyed the show. They're big Hagerstown guys.
No, they liked it. They really dug it.
You guys can find a kid event in Hagerstown, like a bounce house or something like that.
By the time I go on, they'll have been in bed for 2.5 hours. So the answer is... This is like what we call in the legal world, legal expert over here, a summary judgment where they hear the evidence and the judge just goes, no, get out of here. We're not going through with this.
How long? Did you do law school?
No.
You know a lot of things about the law.
Well, that was my plan at one point. You believe that?
Was it really?
Yeah. Well, so this was my hierarchy. This is what I was going to do. Play professional baseball. And I got really
close.
Give me
the ages where those things like became... Pipe dreams, and you said it's not going to happen.
21.
Okay.
My senior year of college, I realized, nope, they don't want you at all. So that was jarring. Then I go, okay, my grades weren't great at the George Washington University. So what I need to do, work for a couple years, pay off some debt, study for my LSATs, take them, try to get into as good a school as I can, do well that year, then transfer to the school I really want to go to. That was my plan.
St. Albans background should help you in the law school world, I would think.
Not a ton. I mean, they care that your college grades are awful and your LSAT stunk. I don't know if it hurts. And I started working, and I was like, I'm never going back to school again for anything. I'm never, ever setting foot in a classroom ever
again. When you stop going to school, it's hard to go back.
Yeah. I realized going to school sucks. And getting paid to do things,
yeah,
infinitely better than paying for the privilege of a miserable experience.
That's the one little bit of advice like that I often will provide or offer when I sit down with someone and they're like, hey, give me some thoughts on this. Or that. I always said two things. The first thing I said was never eat your lunch alone, because like you're at college and all the kids are your age and you're walking around and like someone else is sitting there eating alone. Just go up, do shtick, have a conversation, hang out, make a friend, whatever. The other thing is, if you're planning on finishing school, don't stop going. Like, I was 9 credits away from graduation when I stopped going.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going back.
You're not gonna go back.
You know what I'm saying? Like, now, if it was still 9 credits, I would finish. Everything changes every year, and so now I would probably need to retake certain things, or there's all kinds of new classes, so I'm like 20-some credits away. That's not happening.
You get interest credits? Like, this starts to grow?
Like, the programs that I was studying and working toward, like, at one point in time, just as an example, for the communications journalism focus that I was doing, you needed 6 credits of Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
That could become like 9 credits
of
Spanish.
Yeah.
You need 2 of these math classes. Now they've changed it so it's you actually need this.
Well,
the things that I took before don't actually translate because you don't need those anymore.
Well, think about how practical that is. Like, you need Spanish every day coming here to do this job, so you probably should go back and do that.
I would love to be able to speak Spanish, though. You think it wouldn't be awesome to walk into the Nats clubhouse and
That's
be
true.
Able to have a conversation like James Wagner could with all those guys?
I know, that was actually really neat.
Are important players on the team that are Spanish-speaking first?
And
that'd
so
be awesome.
My Spanish is so rudimentary, I can get one out of every, like, 15 words. So, like, I can't – it's just enough to tantalize me that I'm close, but then it's a reminder that I have no idea what they're saying. You know what I mean? Like, the context clues aren't there enough for me.
It's one of those things I really wish I could do.
Yeah.
But I say that, and I could do something about it, and I don't do anything about it.
Rosetta's Paulson right there.
There's a lot of ways to learn Spanish. Look at, like, Juan Soto has learned English beautifully. I could learn Spanish. It just would take a lot of effort and time and energy willing to invest.
So much effort.
Fairly lazy when it comes to things like
mm-hmm.
that.
But wouldn't it be nice if I was thin and spoke Spanish?
I'll work hard at something if you're paying me to do it. But if this is just for me for free, probably not.
Well, how about
make
a personal
a
enrichment program, Entercom? I filled out the survey. Here's an extra suggestion. Let us learn Spanish. Pay for it.
Ron Rivera, yesterday, in talking about Ryan Kerrigan, made it sound like the Redskins linebacker is not going anywhere. What is with the amount of fans of the Redskins who seem willing to move on from Kerrigan and want the team to go in a different direction? We'll get into that next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. We've got a list here of the 15 attractions that are most suitable for a fun time in Hagerstown. Number one on the list, the Pennsylvania Dutch Market, Danny. You can go hang out at the Pennsylvania Dutch Market.
Better close us before I get up there.
Now, I'm not exactly sure what you'll do or what you'll get there. I hear they have great cinnamon rolls. The fresh-made cinnamon rolls are amazing, made fresh throughout the day. Also, they have fresh... The comment went away. Something else is fresh there.
It's very fresh.
It seems like there's an Amish market in Hagerstown as well. So that sounds like a good time. Two, you could go to the Hagerstown City Park. Looks like some lovely water, a little patio to sit on, look at the ducks. The Ohio Canal National Historic Park is there. So I'm telling you, take the kids, go on over to the Maryland Theater. Are you performing at the Maryland Theater?
No.
Big Red Curtain?
The Art Gastro Pub.
You guys could go see another show at the Maryland Theater while you're out there.
And also, if you have some time for shopping, you could go to the Factory Ribbon Outlet.
It sounds like a good time.
Big attraction.
The number 9 item on the list is Hagerstown Suns Municipal Stadium for baseball.
There you go. I played there years ago.
See, you could see where Dad, show him where Dad used to hit home runs.
Yeah, this is where I flew out to the warning track, and the scouts walked away in disgust.
They didn't like what they saw that day. Ryan Kerrigan doesn't seem to be going anywhere. Ron Rivera yesterday, in talking to NBC Sports Washington, said that Kerrigan is absolutely part of the Redskins' plans. Here's what I don't get about the Ryan Kerrigan future with Washington. It seems like, and I don't know when the tide turned.
But it did.
People don't necessarily want Ryan Kerrigan to be retained. They want to either release him or trade him. I would say primarily trade him. And I just don't get it. I've always felt like he is underappreciated. I've always believed he's completely undervalued by Redskins fans. This guy, I talk about this all the time, he had 26 sacks in 17 and 18. Only Aaron Donald had more in all of the NFL. But for a stretch between 2014 through 2018, five seasons, he averaged about a dozen sacks, which is a total the likes of which reserved for not only Pro Bowlers, and he's won just about every year, but for the best pass rushers on the outside in football. He also, when he gets home, forces fumbles. He's the all-time record holder at Purdue in forced fumbles. He's had four seasons in the NFL where he's forced three or more. He's got 26 forced fumbles on sacks in his career. I mean, he has made plays and been productive for the Redskins for a long, long, long time. I just don't get why a lot of Redskins fans have never really thought he was the caliber of player that his numbers say he is. And beyond that, I know that he had a disappointing year last year. He missed a quarter of the season, four games. He played in 12. He only had 5.5 sacks. So let's say he would have played in the whole year and he would have ended up about 7.5 or 8 sacks, a really disappointing season for him. There's concern, I suppose, that he fell off after last season. He's only 31. I mean, he will turn 32 years old in August before the start of the season. You don't hear the same things necessarily about Trent Williams from the same fans where they say, man, Trent Williams must be done. He's about to be 32 years old. Like Jason Peters at the tackle position is playing into his mid-30s. There are pass rushers who are still ultra-productive, 2, 3, 4 years older than Ryan Kerrigan. It's just odd to me that you're seeing a movement of a big faction of Redskins fans ready to move on from a guy who's been very good at one of the most important positions in football.
There's a lot of 16s next to his name as well. Last year's the first year you don't have 16 games played.
He'd never missed a game before last year.
And now he's been nicked up at times. I remember there was a year where he was really not moving around great and probably should have missed a game or two, by the way. I think it was a quad or something.
Surgery as soon as last game ended.
But still, a productive player. And I understand this isn't – when people point out the sack totals, they point out some of the numbers in the company that he's in. Nobody's saying he's Aaron Donald. Nobody's saying he's Von Miller taking over a Super Bowl. Nobody's saying that he's Khalil Mack. But the numbers sort of bear out, right? This is a productive, good player that has never been properly appreciated by, I think, a lot of this fan base. And I think because he's not a superstar, people have sort of held that against him in a very strange way.
But what's weird to me is he wasn't drafted number 2 overall, right, like Chase Young. He wasn't hyped in a big way before he was taken out of Purdue. In fact, a lot of Redskins fans didn't know anything about him the night he was drafted at number 16.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked out beautifully because the Redskins had the 10th pick. The rumor was, going into the draft, Jason LaConfora wrote a big thing about them possibly moving up into the top 2 to take Blaine Gabbert. They stayed put at 10, and Gabbert was still available, and they traded back 6 slots so Jacksonville could come up to get Gabbert, and then they still were able to get their guy and a defensive player, and it turned out to be Kerrigan, who has spent 10 seasons and 140 games now in Washington. And in that time, he's got 90 sacks.
He'll be their all-time sack leader with 2.
If you look at the all-time list right now, Dexter Manley with 91 is the all-time Redskins leader. Kerrigan will break that number probably by week 3 or 4 next year. Kerrigan is second with 90. Charles Mann is third with 82. And there's a huge drop-off to fourth in Monte Coleman, who has half the sacks of those other guys. So you're talking about a dude who's going to be the all-time sack leader for the Redskins, who has been nothing but a model citizen. Forget never getting in trouble off the field. He's never said a negative word. There's never been one controversial comment. He is basically Captain America. He is, you know, the charmed boy that you want your daughter to date. And yet we take calls and we hear from people all the time that either say he's not that good, which is incorrect and false, or, you don't really need him. And you know how I feel about pass rushers.
Mm-hmm.
You can never have enough. I'm not looking at a 10 to 12 to 13 sack guy and saying no thank you. If you bring in Chase Young and you have Montez Sweat and you have Ryan Kerrigan, that's the first time in a long, long time, the Redskins have had potentially three really high-end outside linebackers. So my question to you, Danny, and I want to get your thoughts on this next, and my question on the phones is, why doesn't Ryan Kerrigan get more respect? 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Why are there so many Redskins fans? And we can talk about the money implications of Ryan Kerrigan next. Why are there so many fans ready to move on from a guy who before last season had never had a disappointing year? And pretty quick to go from most reliable player on your defense for almost a decade to one season where he misses four games and now you're going, I'm good on him. Bring me something else. We don't do that with other players. Darius Geis gets hurt every 2 weeks. We got nothing but people calling us to tell us how great he is. He's never done a damn thing for the Redskins. What does he have, one good game on his ledger? And we're putting him over and buying his jerseys and acting like he's the next big thing? You got a guy that's been grinding, bleeding, sweating for 10 years, doing nothing but producing, and you act like you don't care about him? I just don't get it. 800-636-1067, Grant and Danny on the Fence.
Rodgers fakes. Ryan Kerrigan returning for the Redskins lineup. Finally missed the game last week, and he comes up with the sack.
Well, give credit. It's a coverage sack, really. Ryan Kerrigan's into the line of scrimmage. Belaga does a good job initially. Aaron Rodgers wants to get rid of it quick. It's not there. Just pushes right through him, and in the grass sack for Ryan Kerrigan. And, yes, missing his first game of his career last week because of the concussion. Good early return.
Ryan Kerrigan is with the Redskins at the moment, and we all assume will be with the Redskins in September after what Ron Rivera said yesterday. He's 31 years old. He has played the last nine seasons in Washington. He's entering his 10th year. Who's done more for the Redskins over the last 9 years than him? The only guy you could really say is Trent Williams, maybe. Because Trent Williams has been a higher-ranked player at his position for that time than Kerrigan. But that, to me, is the entire list. And if you're talking about who's done more good for the Redskins, I would put Kerrigan ahead of Williams. Because unlike Williams, Kerrigan has not been suspended multiple times. Kerrigan has not been fined as many times. Kerrigan did not hold out for an entire season, not wanting to play because he hated the organization.
He doesn't miss games. Last year was the first time he missed games. Four on his ledger. He's played 140 out of 144.
It just seems strange. When I grew up, like the guys that were the quote-unquote core Redskins who were around the longest, who were never an issue off the field, they were the beloved players. And I do think there are plenty of people in the fan base who love Ryan Kerrigan. You see a lot of 91 jerseys. But the tone, and you and I have been talking about this, over the last few months has just changed. Now, if your point is as simple as, look, this team is not very good. They need to be thinking about the future. They need to trade veterans with value to get something back. Okay, that's a reasonable take. We're not doing that with everybody else, though.
Right.
There are plenty of people who want to trade Ryan Kerrigan that don't want to trade Trent Williams, who makes even more sense to trade. And they haven't been in that business at all. They haven't just traded veterans to recoup picks because they're rebuilding. This would be the first time they did that. How many players do you think edge rusher category make more money than Ryan Kerrigan right now?
Top of my head, I'd say four.
How about 19?
Oh, wow, really?
19
wow.
players. Khalil Mack, DeMarcus Lawrence, Frank Clark, Von Miller, Trey Flowers, Cam Jordan, Dee Ford, Olivier Vernon, Za'Darius Smith, Chandler Jones, Melvin Ingram, Calais Campbell, Jadeveon Clowney, Danielle Hunter, Whitney Mercilus, Carlos Dunlap, Brandon Graham, Preston Smith, Dante Fowler. Now, those are both down 4-3 linemen and edge rushers, not just OLBs. But the point is, he makes $11.5 million on average a year in his contract. It's not a crazy number for a guy who makes the Pro Bowl three out of the last 4 years and has been a Pro Bowler four times in his career. This year, his cap hit is about $13.8 million. Is that low? No. But for a team that's paying Alex Smith $20 and paying Trent Williams more than that, who may not show up at all again, I don't understand how this has become some like unpayable tax for this guy who's probably going to get you 11 or 12 sacks.
And so I'm in the business right now, by the way, if I'm running the Redskins, of kind of what you talked about. I love Ryan Kerrigan. I really like Trent Williams over the course of his career. I am getting younger. I'm getting picks. I'm building up for a couple years when I can get out of the Alex Smith penalty. I think they're in a penalty box, and their ceiling is only so high when you've got $22 million on average not playing for you, guaranteed over the next couple seasons. So I'm treading water for a little while, adding young pieces, adding guys on rookie deals. I'm going young with my core. I could hear an argument for Kerrigan being kept because the reasons Rivera has stated, he's one of the all-time good guys.
Helps trying establish to build a culture, shows young players how to work, never have to worry about him being at practice on time, putting in the work. And, oh, by the way, has done nothing until last year but stay healthy and produce.
And so I 100% get that. It's not the way I would handle it, but that's a very reasonable opinion to have. I think just if I'm speculating as to why maybe people feel the way they do, this has been an era of Redskins fan apathy going up, right? People are less interested than they were 5 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever it was.
Sure.
The losing. And maybe because he's a face of this team while they've been losing so much, maybe that's something to it.
But
I don't know.
But that didn't hurt Cooley. That didn't hurt Portis.
But the apathy didn't set in until now,
okay.
Right? I have no idea. I'm guessing.
Maybe. I got no answer, so your guess is better than mine. Maybe it's just that he's playing at a time where people care less about the Redskins. But I don't think it's like a lack of interest in Kerrigan. What I'm saying is, like, whatever the new toy is, seems like people are more invested in that than him. Like, DJ Swearinger has a good month and is a higher popularity rating here than a guy who's been here for 7 years. And I'll tell you what I think it is. I think it's just that he's the opposite of flashy. I think it's that he is so boring as a player and as a dude, and I mean that as a compliment, not as a negative. It doesn't sound that way. But he is just so ho-hum. Yeah. It's the same prep all the time. This guy is counting every calorie and going to yoga and structuring his day by the hour to make sure that he's going to be the exact same player in week 11 as week one. And he's spending thousands of dollars on the equipment at his house. But he is just, I guess the term would be like a what you see is what you get, and it's the same. It's very consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's not a lot of chance for the three
the
and a half, four sack, like two interception, one touchdown game that one of the great players in the league. And I think when you're just really good all the time, and maybe you're not elite or special, but you're also not bad, I think people just kind of get used to it. And there is a lack of undulation, so there's maybe a lack because of the non-volatility of like reaction to him. It's just like, oh, there's Kerrigan. He's doing the Kerrigan thing.
Yeah, man. Art Monk went underappreciated for decades because of that.
Very similarly, yeah. I'd say. Andrew and Calvert, you're on Grant and Danny. What's up?
What's up, guys?
Hey, dude.
So, my deal is Ryan Kerrigan is a beast, but we suck. We are terrible. And Trent Williams is important to developing a young quarterback. You need somebody to protect him. Dwayne Haskins especially need somebody to protect him because he's not that good. So if you do get away from Dwayne Haskins and you get burned or you get 2-2, you need somebody to protect him. Darius Geis, on the other hand, get rid of him too. Get rid of anybody that isn't going to help us down the road. Darius Geis can't stay on the field. Get rid of him. Ryan Kerrigan, you're wasting your years here. We're so far away from being good. Trade them. Get rid of them. Anybody that's not going to be here in five, six years down the road, get something for them and move on.
But the only thing I'd say to that, thanks for the call, Andrew. The NFL does not really work that way where you're working 5 or 6 years down the road.
Right. I understand his point, but 5, 6 years is too far.
Maybe 2 years would be the point.
Right.
But Ron Rivera probably isn't here in 5 or 6 years, according to history. You can't make decisions based on 2025 and 2020. You're thinking about 2021 right now if you're the Redskins. You shouldn't get rid of Geis. All that guy has is upside and potential. If he could stay on the field, you're not paying him anything. He's on a rookie contract. His point is, you know, juxtaposing, because I'm saying it seems like Trent Williams, if you were doing like a popularity contest, has more support from Redskins fans than Kerrigan. When one guy holds out and doesn't show up and the other one's just here 15 hours a day at Redskins Park, it's odd to me. I see what you're saying, though, if you're saying, well, Haskins needs Williams, he doesn't need Kerrigan. But you know what really helps a young quarterback? Good defense. Know how you get a good defense that keeps scores low and keeps you in a lot of football games? Defense-first teams? Pass rush.
Create some havoc.
Let's go to Damon in Suitland on Grant and Danny. What's up, Damon?
Yeah. Ryan Kerrigan is going to be fine. The reason why that he has more sacks than we has now is because Dan Snyder wants to turn into the 3-4 simply be on the fact of the Baltimore Ravens with Ray Lewis in there. So, you know, Daniel Snyder wants to implement everything else around the league. Now, saying that, the 4-3, Ryan Kerrigan is going to have, I'm going to say, maybe 12 sacks at the minimum this year because he came out of college as a defensive end, and then they want to send him to the outside linebacker he doesn't have the hips and legs to run with wide receivers, tight ends, and so forth.
Well, there's no doubt. Young. I mean, he's not going to run with tight ends. I mean, that's you don't want him covering anybody. He doesn't run particularly well at all. If he had 12 sacks, by the way, which is the number that you just said, that would rank him tied for seventh in the NFL, you know, in a lot of seasons.
Yeah, so the non, you know, Shaq Barrett 19-plus, which are just freak numbers, which are, you know, not something you could replicate on an annual basis.
Yeah.
That's that second tier of just really good.
Six guys had more than 12 sacks this year.
Yeah, that's just really good.
Barrett, Chandler Jones, Cam Jordan, Danielle Hunter of the Vikings, who I think is one of the most underappreciated players in the game. T.J. Watt and Za'Darius Smith from the Packers. That's the list. Grant and Danny on the Fan, 800-636-1067. Maybe you disagree with my theory. My point is Kerrigan's underappreciated. Is he? And your thoughts on Ron Rivera saying he's not going anywhere. Here's what else we should talk about. A big reason why he's staying, according to Rivera, is he wants some of these veterans to help as a nucleus for whatever he's trying to build.
Yeah.
Who are those core pieces? Let's say Kerrigan might be one. Who else are the Redskins' core veterans that can help establish this culture for Rivera? He swung and missed trying to get Greg Olsen to help him do that. So who are the guys already here that can help? Grant and Danny on the Fan. NFL Combine last night, entertaining television as always. We saw the wide receivers work out. Alabama burner Henry Ruggs III ran the 40-yard dash in 4.27 seconds yesterday, tying with Marquise Goodwin for the fourth fastest since 2006 and just shy of John Ross's record of 4.22 seconds. He wanted to break the record and be at 4.21. Couldn't do that, though. 4.27 seconds. The amazing thing about last night was he runs a 4.27 and there was disappointment.
People were like, oh.
Because there were a couple days building up to it where he had said publicly he was hoping to break the record, and there were some of his teammates speculating that he was going to based on training. He wasn't able to do it, and we'll see. I can't imagine he runs again at the pro day. There's nothing to be gained from running after you do a 4.27 for the scouts to see.
He's stupid fast.
That's done. Crazy fast. I love Marquise Goodwin, by the way, who's on the trade market this year for San Francisco. But Henry Ruggs improving his draft stock every time he takes a foot in Indianapolis.
People are jealous, man. They want that deep threat. They want that scare-the-defense type player, right? I mean, I remember you and I discussing DK Metcalf last year around this time, right, where straight ahead fast, but he couldn't – he was like a truck, an 18-wheeler doing a K-turn in an alley. Had no chance to turn around. Great rookie season. Really, really helped Seattle. I think people saw that and kind of went – oh, even if you just have a straight line burner with some size, you can implement that guy to really, really help you.
Yeah, I worried a lot about DK Metcalf's route running.
Right. I wanted no part of him.
So what we saw, though, is he didn't really have to run a lot of routes, to your point.
That's right.
I mean, he just kind of ran behind people. I was a much bigger fan at last year's Combine of A.J. Brown of the Titans now.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out A.J. Brown had a hell of a rookie season, probably better than Metcalf. But Metcalf is legit. I mean, he had a 900-yard, 58-catch, 15.5-yard season where he scored 7 touchdowns. And if you saw him in the playoffs, he had a dominant, maybe one of the greatest rookie wide receiver debut playoff games that's ever happened.
He was a force. So I was wrong there, but I think people saw that. They see the success that, you know, you can have with Kansas City. They had Tyreek Hill, 3rd and 15. Obviously not the same player, but the deep threat, making defenses have to respect, you know, the entire field once again, is, I think, something that the teams are going to start to realize is a pretty profound impact.
Quick happy birthday to Jacob Vrana of the Washington Capitals. Vrana, by the way, who I would have guessed just off the top of my head, 25. You know, he was in the Cup a couple years ago. He was in the NHL before that. 24 years old today. Just a reminder that he debuted as a baby at 20 years old.
Just a kid.
We've been watching him play for the Caps since 2016-17. But he has become an integral player in their offensive puzzle. He has 25 goals this year. He's got 49 the last 2 years. He's going to score 30 goals for the first time this season in his age 23 season. And he'll end up scoring 40 at some point in the post-Ovechkin, post-Backstrom era probably.
Yeah.
But they made the decision to build around him instead of Burakovsky. And even though Burra's having a good year in Colorado, I think it was probably the right decision. As much as I loved V on the ice in the Stanley Cup run, I think our greatest Vrana memory will always be the day of the championship parade, when Jason Bishop was on the phone with us, and we asked him to just hand the phone to Jacob Vrana, and awkwardness ensued. How close to a Capitals player are you right now?
Oh, 10 feet.
Okay, who is it?
Well, it's Verana, but
go put Jacob Verana on the phone real quick.
He's on top of his bus. I can't get to him.
Oh, well, then you're not. Then that's not going to work, Jason.
You're so tall, though, Jason. You can use your long reach.
I'm going to try. Hold on.
All right. So Jason is getting out of the
phone.
They
want me to get Verana on the phone.
He's going to try to go throw the phone to Jacob Verana.
This is awesome.
Apparently, Verana is his boy. We're about to see how tight they actually
Jacob,
are.
This is
Jacob,
the opposite of like
a
golf hole.
He's yelling radio show at him.
No way. What do I do? What do I do?
Jacob.
Bye, guys.
Jacob
Verana!
Yeah! Washington Capitals, you're live on 106.7 The Fan. How's the parade, bro?
It's unbelievable. You know what?
The time that Jacob Verana joined us from the bus during the championship parade.
What I wish you could
beer
hear.
Beer in one hand, yeah. Cell phone in the other.
You could hear it a little bit. It didn't do justice to the pop at the restaurant.
Oh, people.
Right?
I
think it was Elephant and Castles where we were at.
Yeah.
Right? And. Because all you're picking up is the sound in the room on our headset mics. So it's like, that's not what they're designed to pick up. It's designed to pick up you and my, you know, fat faces chatterboxing. The room went crazy when Verana came on the phone because we're on the loudspeakers and he goes, hello, hello. Everyone's like, what?
It's mid-parade. There's no
amazing.
Access to the players. Yeah. We've been talking about the Caps all day. These conquering heroes who had just
so
won
great.
The cup. It's our first championship parade in the city in a quarter century for most of the people listening. Certainly around my age, they didn't remember a championship parade in this town. And then you get one of the guys who was a heroic figure throughout the cup run, who everyone's been toasting for many days, celebrating all over D.C.
So great.
To hop on the show randomly because Bish threw him the phone. That was a blast.
I like when Bishop was like, no, I can't do it. I can't do it. Okay, hold on 1 second.
He's like, I'll try it. And then he goes, he just throws him the phone and goes, radio show. Like Verana knows anything about what he's talking
radio.
About.
Oh, yes, radio. Hello.
Rich and Laurel, you're on Grant and Danny. What's up, buddy?
Hey guys, how you doing? It's been
a
while. I think Ryan Kerrigan. I love Ryan Kerrigan. He's a solid. He's a very good player, but he's not. The reason he doesn't get the respect is because he's not a game changing player. He's steady. He's solid. He makes plays, but he doesn't draw double teams. And he doesn't affect the outcome of games like a potential elite pass rusher can. But the one other premise, I hear what you're saying about, you know, trading away guys, getting picks. You need veterans if you want to win. And I don't necessarily subscribe to the notion that you keep telling yourself and your team that we're, you know, 3-4 years out. We'll find out because we don't know. We don't know if it was coaching and we don't know if it's talent. It might be somewhere in the middle. So I'm all for keeping Kerrigan because he is steady and he produces, but I'm not about selling off all the veterans just to collect picks and going 100% young.
Understood that too. I mean, look, I think we know that the team's not as talented as the teams we watch in the playoffs. You can watch the Chiefs who won the Super Bowl or the 49ers or even in the division. You see when they play Dallas or they play Philadelphia, they're outclassed. I don't think it takes an NFL scout or Kyle Smith to understand that. But could they be better quickly in the NFL? Of course you can. We see teams all the time go from worst to first in their division, or the 49ers go from 3-4 wins to playing in a Super Bowl. That can absolutely be done. You need a great performance at quarterback, which is a big leap of faith. And back to Kerrigan, I think you're right. It's the lack of flash. It's the lack of kind of huge impact in a Von Miller sense, a Khalil Mack setting that keeps him from that. But to say he doesn't change games, I think, is foolish.
Yeah,
he ends a lot of drives. He forces a lot of third and longs and punt situations.
Touchdown
so
against
he changes
Dallas.
Most of
sack
the games
fumble
he plays
on Prescott. You know,
absolutely.
Smith picks it up. I mean, there are
pick
plays.
Pick six is twice against the Giants. I just disagree with that. Zach and Brandywine, you get the last word on Kerrigan. The idea that so many fans are ready to move on after one season where he didn't put up the same numbers as he normally does.
Yeah, I don't get it, man. Grant Danny, you guys are awesome. Who else is going to read Valentine's Day? I remember when he used to come and do that on y'all show. So amazing and so funny and such a good gesture of his. But it's just like everything else in society. You've talked about it with Juju Smith-Schuster versus Antonio Brown. Danny talks about it with, like, talented people versus not talented people. We water the wrong plants. Like, we pay attention to the wrong things.
What
people love
phrase.
The sizzle and not the steak.
That is
they
a
what a
great
phrase.
Phrase. Is that yours, like, or did you read that? Like, I'm stealing that phrase.
I got it from somewhere. I'm like a personal trainer, so I kind of eat that stuff for breakfast.
Okay.
But so I don't know. You can have it, Grant. It's yours.
I'm taking it, man.
But,
water the wrong plants is so perfect. We do, though. We appreciate. Plants, like, you can extrapolate this out to entertainment, right? And, like, the people who we put over, the stupid shows that I will occasionally watch or people watch, why? There are people that do it the right way that produce, and they don't get the credit.
Yeah, so I'm all about giving people credit that deserve it, the Juju Smith-Schusters of the world that don't say anything and just come to work with a hard hat, do their job. Ryan Kerrigan is that person 100%. And as a second note, I'm out on Trent Williams. Like, please, I want him to have success in the future. I'm sorry about what happened to him. But please give me more Ryan Kerrigan, less Trent Williams, please.
Appreciate you. Look, we're going to get into Trent next hour because basically we're back where we started with Trent Williams now, where he wants a new contract or he wants to be traded, and all of the stuff about all the goodwill and the conversations seems like it was much ado about nothing. A great phone call. Thank you. Sounds like a guy we could kick it with.
That's right. Watering the wrong plants. I just went, oh, that's so perfect.
Dude.
That's so perfect.
What a great line. You're going to hear that a few times. I'm just going to tell you.
Warning, that's coming back.
Right. Albert Breer of MMQB and SI on the NFL draft on the Ruggs 40-time players that helped themselves the most yesterday. Chase Young said he's the best player in the class. Is he right? And this new rumor that the Redskins, who are talking to Tua Tagovailoa, should actually be considering drafting him, perpetuated by Mel Kiper yesterday. That's all coming up with Breer next on G&D.
Guys, Danny Ruya here from a pal's a temperate, four-number temperate guy. I can prove it three different times. Three different times. Not one, not two. Three different times. Been to Temperate Ford and got myself brand spanking new Fords. That's right. The wife is driving her second Edge, right? We love the first one, love the buying experience. She did it first. And I said, you know what? This is where I'm going for my car and my Ford Fusion. Making the trip up to Hagerstown tonight. It's charging up right now downstairs just to get ready for that long journey ahead. I've packed overnight provisions, combo snacks, caffeinated beverages, and lots of water. Who knows how many bathroom breaks it's going to take for me to get there? Who knows? I do know this. Now's a great time to go see my guys at Temperate Ford because here's what's going to happen. You're leaping over your first couple of payments. That's the first thing. Second thing, they'll save you a bunch of money on a car. How about $15,500 off a 2019 F-150? How about $10,000 below the MSRP on a 2020 Ford Explorer? Those deals, so many more. Matter of fact, can't tell you. Click away at Temperate Ford. Excuse me, Temperate.com. Excuse me, Temperate.com. Where'd you go? Oh, my God.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.